It's time for the Ian Furness Show.
You want me to turn it up?
Send your text to 49451 on Seattle Sports Radio 950 KJR.
All righty then, Kevin Shockey, how are you on this Thursday edition of the program?
Ian, I am just absolutely flipping fantastic. Yourself?
I don't know. I got a brow sweat going. My nose is running. I feel like I got a fever. Now I got the chills. What are those signs of?
You had some hot lunch?
And Nashville fried chicken. Thank you very much, Jason Puckett. You are the man. You know what? All those bad things that you and I say about him all the time when he's gone, I take them all back.
Me? I've never said a mean word about him in my life.
Oh, man. You fly, he buys. There's nothing better than that, buddy. There is nothing better than that. Oh, there we go. That helps when I plug in my headset. Man, I'm out of sorts. That stuff is good.
Yes, my goodness.
That stuff is good, man. That is a good, good lunch. I need to go work that off today. All right. You're talking from where?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. I'm in the Redbox producer's booth, and Redbox has the newest movies, freshman theater, for under $2 a night. So head to the box or stream on demand.
Or you can head box yourself, too.
You know what?
If you do that.
At least I'm not complaining. I'm a gamer.
so much food.
Oh, it's good.
So hot.
Well, Curtis tapped out. What a sissy, man. He should be banned for life from lunch.
I mean, it does make you wonder about what he has here. Yeah, his heart.
No heart. I got a headline for you, though.
Now, from the Star Reynolds Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
1 o'clock headlines brought to you by Venue Kings, venuekings.com. Seahawk tickets, they got them for you. Kraken tickets, they got them for you. Huskies in Arkansas State, they have those too if you need them.
Get on the Husky boat.
Kevin Shockey will tell you about that in a second.
Yeah!
Game time, by the way, is 1:15 on Saturday. That means the Honks are on the air at 6 a.m.
Or right. 9, but you know, sure.
Let's get to it. As we speak right now, Major League Baseball and Commissioner Rob Manfred are with the Mariners brass. Apparently Kevin Mather's back as the president, according to Puck.
Stop it.
They are announcing that the 2023 Major League Baseball All-Star Game will be here in Seattle. More on that in a second, but that is probably the timeline for when the Mariners will be good, according to DePoto. So, that's good. Awesome story. First time since 2001. Third time in the franchise history. And memorable moments in all of the two previous ones. Dave Parker throwing a ball 800 feet to Gary Carter to get a guy out at home plate back in the Kingdome days. And, of course, the Ripken stuff a few years ago. It's a cool deal. 2023, it'll be here. We'll have more on that as the day goes on. Mariners did lose yesterday. They've lost two straight series. They go to Kansas City. Start a series there tomorrow. Final road trip of the year. They are hanging on to dear life right now for the wild card spot.
Not good, Ian.
No, they were hanging around. They went to the extra innings, and then they got slaughtered in the extra innings. Mention the Huskies in Washington coming up on Saturday, 1:15. USC and Washington State, 12:30 on Saturday as well. Seahawk news. We told you the injury report yesterday. We'll get another updated one soon. But D. Eskridge won't play this Saturday. That's bad news for Seattle. Some big-time players, Bud Dupree specifically, may not be out there for Tennessee. We'll keep an eye on that this weekend as well as a couple wide receivers. So lots going on. Let's go. Let's start the show. Here we go. Rocking and rolling. All right, Kevy. How are you doing today, bud? Everything good?
I'm good.
All right.
Life is good.
Cam Cleland's going to join us at 1:30. He is the Husky radio analyst, joins us every Thursday at 1:30. We talk all things Washington football with him. It's all brought to you by 13 Coins. Excited for that. And Brandon Funston at 2 o'clock today. Puck and I talked about it. Have you checked yet? Puck and I talked about it. Have you checked the text line?
Oh, no. Oh, I don't even.
Don't
honestly,
worry yet. Don't worry yet. I'm curious. I want to get the. I'll get the update at 2 o'clock today. If you have a question for Funston, 49451. That is the Coors Light text line.
They're keeping Seattle chill.
And we have text coming in, usually right off the top.
Oh yeah.
Your phone calls are welcome as well at 2 o'clock today to answer your fantasy football questions from our guru. And I can tell you this, as Kevin can attest.
Just a solid effort by the listeners already today.
You guys never cease to amaze. You make us proud. I feel like a proud parent sometimes when Kevin gives me these updates. We'll get the exact times at 2 o'clock today from Kevin. Because, again, here's the story. He will not read a text that comes in before 1 o'clock, but he will read the first, 10, 12 usually that come in right at 1 o'clock.
Well, we're going to have, frankly, the people are making my job a little bit more difficult.
Uh-oh.
Because I'm seeing...
Like a lot more than...
Ian, I'm seeing 15 in the first 19 seconds of the hour.
Oh, God.
Now, I didn't hear all of Cross Talk, so you talked about it?
We mentioned but Kev, right at the very end, we mentioned, hey, Mike and Edmonds and Ricky and Tacoma and those dudes would be calling in, and we mentioned the fan. I didn't give the text line number, Kev.
You know what the
I didn't
best
even
part
give
is,
the
though?
Text line number.
Do you want to know how many we got before 1 o'clock?
How many?
Zero. We've trained them well.
Well, you have.
Yeah.
You are just like
I love it. The
gatekeeper of all things, Brandon Funston.
I'm so proud.
You're not messing around.
I'm so proud.
Yeah, I like the fact they're making your job easy. So Kevin just told you there's a ton of texts that came in right away that people will be tuned in to listen to coming up at 2 o'clock today. Your best bet if you want a question answered is still via the phone call.
Now, see, Ian tried to pull this weird thing last week where we took the initial batch of phone calls and we went to texts, and he pretended like we were going to get back to calls. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
We're going to get all the calls in as they come in, and we'll probably have to wrap them up at about 13 or so and then get to the texts.
Because you guys that are texting, especially those first 15, and I'm sure there's more than 15 now.
Ian, no.
Yeah.
Those are the first 15 came in the first 19 seconds of the hour.
That's obscene, man.
We
that
have dozens and dozens already.
Funston, he is the best. All right, so we'll do that coming up 2 o'clock today, brought to you by our good friends at the Emerald Queen Casino. Speaking of which... 2:35, it's a Kevin Shockey Pick'em Day for Fact or Fiction. He'll do that coming up at 2:35, and we'll see if you can keep the juice going. We've got a lot of momentum on this show, a lot of people texting in every day. We're in the 70s yesterday, right? 70% range for my pick, I do believe.
Oh, yeah.
My Wazoo's going to get their ass kicked pick.
Yeah, that was they were very agreeable.
Okay, good.
We'll just say that.
Good. I like it. So that's coming up today at 2:35. Fact or Fiction, your chance to win a $1,000 weekly prize, $10,000 grand prize, courtesy of the Emerald Queen Casino. All you have to do is pick games, or not even pick games. You just agree or disagree with the picks that are made.
Yes.
That's simple. I mean, it's really simple. Some of you like to be disagreeable and just disagree on premise, like it's Puckett or Ian, so we're just going to disagree with you. Or it's Softy, and, I think he walks on water, so I'll agree with him. It's Bucky. He likes the Broncos, so I'll disagree with him, that kind of stuff.
Boy, a lot of people – Bucky is really riding the Broncos right now. That's 2 weeks in a row.
Oh, he's a Bronco
Let me
fan.
Tell you what I'm not going to do here, Ian.
You're not taking
I'm
the
not going to be betting on the Eagles every week.
I didn't even
and
mention –
And I think they might be pretty good.
I didn't even mention the fact that we have Thursday Night Football tonight. Your friends, the New York Giants, taking on the Washington football team. Right?
Yeah, I think the New York Giants...
That's on 950 KJR, I should mention.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
I think the Giants might be a total disaster, but someone already picked Washington this week, so I'm not going to do it. But Puckett picked them yesterday, and I think he's right. -3.5, that's not enough points.
2-0-1 NFC East teams. Weird, the NFC East already a collective 1-3, correct? Nicely done.
Well,
good job, NFC East. Hey, I want to talk about the All-Star game for just a second. And I want to go down the road. Softy brought something up with Dick. They were talking about it the other day. And they're doing the announcement now. We've known for a couple days. Jeff Passan was the first to report it, and we couldn't get official confirmation from the team, but we got unofficial confirmation when they scheduled the press conference. So they're doing it today. Griffey's there, and Edgar's there, and all that kind of fun stuff. And so the All-Star game will come here basically in a little less than two years, in 22 months from now. It'll be in Seattle. And it's, one of the old radio topics that people used to do, and – frankly, some stations in town still do it. What's the best All-Star game? What's the best? Baseball's is different than the other ones. Middle of the season and competitive, and at one point there was, quote, something on the line. But the way baseball used to be without interleague play, and especially when a lot of us were growing up, there was not a lot of television, and so you didn't see guys and the superstars from other teams. I always thought they kind of were bigger than life because of that. You'd read about them. As a long-time, subscriber to Sports Illustrated, really up until the last couple of years, long-time subscriber to Sports Illustrated, you get the cover, and, hey, there's Carl Yastrzemski or Johnny Bench, and maybe you'd see those guys in the playoffs or the Monday Night Baseball game of the week on ABC, but it was just they were bigger than life. They wore their own uniforms to an All-Star game. It was awesome.
And they still did that fairly recently.
Up until the last year or two, right?
A year ago or this year. Ugh.
Which we all, I think, kind of hate. But there was always something special about baseball's All-Star game. And I mentioned, they had it here in Seattle in the Kingdome, and Dave Parker with an incredible throw. And you know, and to bring all those superstars to Seattle was awesome. 2001, it was made special. And Softy said it was made special, I think. I don't want to put words in these guys' mouth, but just kind of listening on driving home, they were talking about, well, all these guys were involved. But they said something that caught my attention, and I wanted to bring it up today with the when it was coming up. I wonder how important it will be, the All-Star Game. And it's not just a game, because the Home Run Derby is on Monday, and I think a lot more people have access to be able to go to that. Now, you know, I mean, a lot of times you had, I don't know how the tickets worked a couple years, you know, 20 years ago, but it felt like that's maybe more accessible, or maybe if there's like, if it's a corporate ticket, maybe, you know, they give them to somebody and what have you. Hopefully a lot of people get to go to that event. They have the experience, the quote, baseball experience, you know, like you think of the Super Bowl experience, anybody that's been to one of those.
Yeah.
So they bring that traveling road show to town, and I think those are the important things. They brought up, you know, how maybe this will re-energize us as a baseball town. And maybe it's a kick in the backside only in this sense. A winning baseball team does that automatically. I'm not talking about winning, you know, the Mariners getting re-energized. I'm just talking about a younger generation of fans. A younger generation, younger than you and me. Like, I'm talking about teenagers and so on and so forth. Maybe, just maybe, having that in our town and having kids go down and see that, whatever that Major League Baseball experience will be, will kind of re-energize and maybe even help to grow the game, at least in terms of its popularity, outside of our team, which hopefully by then will be, God forbid, maybe we'll have been to the playoffs by, you know, maybe
in
not this
years?
Year, but maybe next year. I don't
hopefully.
What I'm saying. But hopefully it just kind of gets us back to that point. I grew up a baseball fan and fan of, like, the superstars around baseball. You know, watching the great Oakland A's teams, the Cincinnati Reds teams, the Red Sox with Carlton Fisk, not Carlton Fisk the White Sox, but Carlton Fisk the Red Sox with Jim Rice and Carl Yastrzemski. Some of those Yankee teams, you know, watching Bucky Dent's dramatic home run. I mean, there's memories I have of baseball that aren't Mariner memories. And I hope that's what that does. And those guys kind of brought that up. And I don't know. I hope that we have a generation of younger people that appreciate and become more baseball fans than just Mariner fans. And maybe that'll be a little jump start. We mentioned the other day, hopefully it'll be a jump start for the community. It will certainly have an economic impact. There's no doubt it'll have an economic impact, because you bring literally, you know, thousands of people here from the corporate world that are coming here to entertain clients. That's how I went in 2001. I went with, I think it was the Pepsi people. This friend of mine was working for an NBA team, and the Pepsi people brought him, and he knew I was here, and hey, come on. So we went with Pepsi people. It was a big corporate event, like all these Pepsi events.
Yep.
You bring all these people to town. You stay, you fill up the hotels. You go to the restaurants. It'll be a boost to the economy, even though you'll see stories and people try to tell you along the way it's not. Ah, it doesn't matter. No, those are hotel rooms that are filled, and those are guys. Those people go to the Metropolitan. They go to John Howie. They go to El Gaucho. That's where they go. They spend a lot of money. But more important than that, I hope it just gives us, I hope baseball puts on a show and puts on a showcase, and younger people really start to appreciate what is really a great game. I mean, we bash it. It's too long. I bash it. We all do. We all have our issues with baseball. It's a great game. All of us hopefully grew up playing it. I don't know how many kids still grow up playing it all the time. You know, you always talk about your great career as a Little League player. I joke about that tongue-in-cheek.
I was an excellent, excellent baseball player.
Baseball's the one game that everyone should play at some point in their life. Throwing and catching a ball should be a rite of passage. It should be a requirement for every boy and girl growing up. Whether it's with your brother, sister, mom, or dad, throwing and catching a ball should just, in my mind, it should just be part of what you do as a youngster. Don't stick with it. I don't care if you stick with it. But don't be the kid that can't throw or catch a ball. Learn how to throw and catch a ball. Fall in love with that. It's the most simplistic of games that we have in our world. Playing catch is awesome. It's awesome. Throw and catch. It's not that hard. Like, and because you want to be able to do that with your kids someday. I know with you and little Isaiah, you can't wait to do that.
Sure.
As bad a thrower as you may be.
Well, I'm not a terrible thrower. I couldn't hit.
Is that what the issue was?
I told you.
Was it all hitting? Was it, or what, curveball or just everything?
Oh, I wasn't at curveball level yet. Ian, I couldn't make contact. I made contact twice. We've already talked about this. I think, here's the thing. I It kills me because the opinion and feelings about baseball in this town are so affected by how the professional baseball team has done.
Right.
Because my understanding is that Little League baseball is very healthy and that people are playing, like kids are playing it all the time, and that it's doing really well. But we just were so jaded because the Mariners have just disappointed over and over and over and never even given that, like, that feeling. I'm telling you, the feeling, you know this, the feeling of a series in your town and getting in a series, whether it's 3 games, 5 games, or 7 games, that series is where you really feel
Kevin, that game.
Kevin,
whether it's baseball, NBA, or hopefully we'll feel it soon enough with the hockey team.
Mm-hmm.
A 7-game, 5-game,
nothing
whatever
like
it is, series where you're playing every other day. It's not like we're building up for a week and then the game goes like football. Yeah, I'm 100% with you because we haven't had that forever. I mean, the last time we had it was
01.
I'm thinking NBA, what, 05?
Well,
yeah.
Was it the Luke Ridenour through the legs against the Kings?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, and see, it's, what you brought up there is really interesting too because, yeah, youth baseball, you go around, and I mean, we've had such a tumultuous couple of years with the pandemic, and it's a little bit different. But yeah, youth baseball still go and you'll see, you know, parks are jammed, kids are playing, there's all kinds of leagues, kids are playing. I think a lot of kids give it up sooner than they used to because of the push for select ball and things like that.
Yeah.
That's a different story. The problem is that the kids that are playing that you just described, someone who has a, you know, 8-9-year-old that's playing baseball for the first time and, you know, they're hoping their kid gets into it, that's the person who is most either apathetic or jaded because guess
right.
how old they are?
Exactly, because they're 35 and they've in their formative years, they've been watching a team that disappoints constantly.
That disappoints.
That's
where
I'm curious.
And just real quick, and so what I'm saying is I hope that the showcase that is All-Star Week, you know, whatever 5 days it is, culminating on the Tuesday, I hope that the showcase that Major League Baseball puts on, it gives kids a little jolt of enthusiasm, and it showcases the Ohtanis and the great athletes. The talent. I mean, to be a Major League Baseball player, the talent is just think about it. I mean, it's hard to hit a baseball. It's hard to hit a baseball in high school, college, minors, much less at that level.
Yep.
I know my kid who's 19 now, grew up, and he's okay with baseball, played it. He was a select kid, did all that stuff, but he never had a baseball athlete that he really gravitated to, like he does for the NBA, even though we don't have a team here.
Yeah.
And he does for the NFL. My daughter did because her first formative years of knowing anything about sports, she's watching Ichiro with me in 01, 02, 03. She's old enough to remember that. But then it's kind of died off, although she's still a fan to this day, like the biggest baseball fan in our family. So I hope that that's what baseball – I hope – all the other hoopla about this 2023 thing, economic impact, all that other stuff, for me as a sports fan and as a dad and maybe someday a grandfather, I hope this gives baseball a jump start in our town. Not a Mariner jump start, a sport jump start. Showcase the athletes. Get up close. Appreciate what a great game it really is. And I think that's what it'll do. I hope it does. So 2 years. Oh, your guy will be 2 years old. Be taking them down there, taking pictures, huh?
See if I can get in. It'll be interesting to see what it does for the average sports fan in Seattle. Because I do wonder with these sort of big events, it's great for the city on the whole.
Yeah.
I do wonder what kind of like individual personal connections actually are made at something like this, which is so corporate and large. That is the part that I'm like, it's great for the city. I'm glad it's here. I do wonder if Jim, who's driving his son to football practice here in a couple hours in Tequila, like, is he going to get a connection from this?
Is he going to have access to this, is what you're saying?
Exactly.
That's a good point. All right. 49451 Coors Light text line, keeping Seattle chill if you want to chime in. All right. We'll come back. Cam Cleland. He is the voice of reason on the Husky Honks, I've come to determine. And he'll join us. I like voices of reason, don't you?
Yeah, fine, I guess.
I'll get him going. He'll join us next.
Now back to Ian Furness on your home for the 12th man in the NFL. Seattle's Sports Radio 950, KJR, and free on the iHeartRadio app.
All right, we're back. Cam Cleland will join us here in just a couple of seconds. Don't forget the Pro Football Challenge on 950 KJR. Log on to sportsradiokjr.com. Pick the winners of each week's game. If there's someone who selects all the correct winners for the entire season, they could win $50,000 American dollars. Thursday Night Football tonight, right here on KJR, right after Softy and Fain are done with their show. It's an NFC East pillow fight. The Giants and the Washington football team. Both teams 0-1. The only team that's got a win so far in the NFC East, Kevin, I forget. Who is it? The only team?
I'm trying to think. They won a lot last week. Philadelphia.
Thank you very much. Let's get to them.
It's time to talk Husky football with former Washington and NFL tight end Cam Cleveland. Brought to you by 13 Coins. 13 Coins has been a Seattle favorite for over 50 years. In Pioneer Square in Seattle, Bellevue and SeaTac. Opening in Vancouver, Washington in late 2021. Visit 13coins.com. Now with our Coug host, Ian Furness, here's Cam Cleveland on your home for the Huskies. Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Our guy joins us right now. He is in the booth every Saturday along with Tony Castricone, the color analyst for the Huskies on the radio right here on 950 KJR, your flagship home for Husky football. Former NFL tight end, former Husky tight end, Cam Cleveland with us. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm not bad. How's it feel to be 1-1? I mean, how's it feel to be 1-1? A little small sense of humor to start the day. That's some levity, a little bit.
Here's the good news. You can ask next week. The first thing I need you to say is, hey, we both know what it's like to be 1-2.
Look at the confidence on both sides. I love it.
One and two next week. A combined 2-4 for the state of Washington. Oh my, how the mighty! I used to like to make fun of like how bad Oregon State was, and even if Oregon was scuffing along at 8-4, and the Huskies and the Cougs were winning 10 games a couple years ago, that was fun. Not this year. Okay.
It was fun.
Hey, before I get to the woes of the Huskies and why everybody wants John Donovan fired after two games, can you give? I'm a big bucket list like. Go experience sports things. What's the big house like?
No, Ian, I'm just going to – it's a must for anybody that wants to feel and know what it's like to be in a college football town. I mean, it was insane. I mean, I've never seen – now, look, I've been to the Rose Bowl when it's full in Pasadena, but to see it in a regular season at 111,000 and then at night and then the maze out, I don't know how – I mean, of course, I saw a little bit of the snapshots on TV where you're watching the game, but – the feel and the energy, I'm just telling you, there has never been a better place. And of course I played at Ohio State. I played at Notre Dame, certainly played in all the Pac-12 teams, played in Miami, played in some other really big places. I've been to LSU. I've been to some really big stadiums in the South. I don't know how I can't look at any other place and tell you that it's better other than what, of course, Husky Stadium, because there's my bias going in. But just to see the way the pageantry, how passionate everybody was, it meant so much for those guys and for the fans. I mean, they've been doing it forever. You would have thought that team had won 50 national championships in a row. Have everybody there. I know everybody's been waiting for COVID and that energy to come back, but I'm telling you, it was a special place and very fortunate for a chance to go back and play there.
Yeah, as I'm watching that, I was thinking the same thing. You know, the NFL doesn't have that, obviously, more of a corporate atmosphere at a lot of places.
Sure.
Lambeau at night is pretty close, probably in terms of is the closest thing maybe in the NFL that you would find, I think, and that's a special atmosphere there too. I always tell people go to Lambeau once; that's a good place to go. We've been lucky enough to be there a handful of times, but yeah, that just looked like a great atmosphere. All right, let's get to the nitty gritty. Yeah. Arkansas State's coming in here this week. Listen, maybe you're not going to say this. I assume Washington's going to win that game. But what – Kevin asked me this question last week with Wazoo and Portland State. And it was like something along the lines, what was it, Kevin? Like, what must happen for you to kind of like feel a little bit better about things? And I said, I don't even know. Like a blowout win, but I don't even know if that would make me feel better. What would make Husky fans feel better on Saturday?
Well, if I'm looking at it from – maybe I'm going to look at it from my perspective or just anybody that's watching the game and kind of see is that I want to see an identity – really from Washington, what do they want to be? And especially, I think there are a lot of you out there and a lot of listeners and a lot of people that are Husky fans or football fans that goes, what are they on offense? And are they a running team? Well, we know we've heard about it last year from Coach Lake, 68 yards and 50 yards do not make you a running team heading into your third game into the season. And, you know, you want to put up points. So I want to see an identity. Are you nasty at the line of scrimmage, or are you going to be a team that gets more in spread and maybe throws? Do you want to have something? Because right now I'm struggling with a little bit to try to see what they want to be, how they want to do it, what's the most efficient way to play offense for them. I really know what I feel like on defense. I think no matter what you looked at from how they played against Michigan and listening to Jim Harbaugh, the way he talked about how good the secondary from what they were going to stop running the football. But the emotions of the defense, it took its toll because you could see they were out there so long and not getting the bounce back from the energy from the offense. So that's for me is really grab a hold of something. And we see a team that has a sense of urgency that grabs something and says, we're going to take control of the tempo of the game and finds a way to get started and get started fast. And that's, if I'm watching it, that's what I'm looking for.
Cam Cleveland brought to you by 13 Coins. Cam, I'm flummoxed. I'm surprised. I'm confused. I thought that identity was a really simple thing. Jimmy Lake kept telling us it's the best offensive line in football and in college football. And really on paper, when you return all five guys and quality guys, not like sometimes you can return five guys and they're not good. Like that's like whatever, you return five guys. Are they any good? Well, maybe not. I mean, on paper, pretty good. You've got a stable of running backs of which they've only used, what, two or three so far. That's the thing that surprises me the most is that they haven't been, you're looking for an identity, they haven't been that power running team.
Yeah, and they haven't. I mean, the guys up front have struggled a little bit. I mean, you know, both guards and have been in some mismatches a little bit. They've been on the edges, seeing how well the D-line, and there's some big dudes for Michigan, and they brought a lot of pressure, and they didn't respect the fact that they were going to take away the run. Their identity of Michigan on defense said, well, we're just going to put you guys in one way, and we're going to say, try to run it on us. And Washington, again, struggled there, haven't been able to do it. And Richard Newton and Cam Davis have been the guys. I know there's a lot of people asking for Sean McGrew and the changeup, and that's on the coaching staff and what they want to do along with Kamari Pleasant. But, yeah, I think the most concerning thing from the Washington perspective is the offensive line has not really stood out like I think like a lot of us were hoping for, because everybody knows it's a football dude, or anybody that watches you win at the line of scrimmage, both O and D. And that's kind of been the biggest issue so far right now. The guys aren't moving. And then when you see the run games, you see guys like Cam Davis and Richard Newton, they're pitter-pattering a little bit because they're seeing color in the lane. And when you're a running back and you immediately see color right when you get the handoff, you don't feel that 1 yard push or that move, a wave of the offensive line moving downhill a little bit. It gets you so much more vision. So even the running backs are a little bit nervous. So it's a point of attack thing, man. It just really is. You got to man up and win the damn line of scrimmage.
They play a team that statistically you should be able to run on in Arkansas State, and and a team that wants to throw the ball, which kind of falls into your strength as a defense, which is, you know, that all those things kind of come into play. So let's move on to the bigger thing. And you guys addressed it on the Husky Honks, but I'll just say, let me role play here, Cam. I'm a Husky fan. I see Cam Cleveland walking in the stadium on Saturday going up to getting ready to go to the booth. You're walking through. The people are tailgating. I'm like, Cam, they got to fire John Donovan. What do you say about that?
I don't like firing coaches. That's just not my call. I've never been an administrator. I've been in a locker room when coaches get fired. I've been on teams when that's happened. I've seen it. I don't really, that's above my pay grade. I mean, that just is way above it. And some were out there, well, that's the cheap way to get out of it, Cam. I was like, look, I'm not asking for people's jobs. I think that there's time, and sometimes you got to find a rhythm, and everybody's got to find their identity, not only as coaches, but to be able to mesh well together. So there isn't an easy answer, because if you do end up going down that road of firing people, then who's next man up on the staff? Is that guy prepared? Are those people? Do you have a contingency plan? What is your backup role? And these coaches have been doing this for a long time for a reason. It's ruthless. I know USC did that with their head coach, with Clay Helton. I feel like that's kind of been in play for a long time. But last year was not a full season. It wasn't. It was a COVID, we want to call it a spring season of what it is. This is the real season. Coaches and players will get better throughout the year. And if they don't make that adjustment, and as we come into Pac-12 play, and you can see that moving forward, then that's the coaching staff and the admin's job. Fans are fans for a reason. I get it. You want everybody fired, figured out. But coaches got to have a contingency plan, and they got to figure out who they have there to get going. I believe in letting the season play out and you get to the point, I've seen 0-12 before. I know what that looks like. We're not going to be that. I guarantee you.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Neither are we, because we beat Portland State, so thank God we're 0-12 is out of play for the Cougs. Hopefully, it'll be out of play for your guys as well.
Coach Barney's a good friend of mine. That's a good. I mean, hey, if you got after, you find beer for everybody that shows up to a game down here in Portland this week. So hey, that's what you do.
Hey man, have a great call on Saturday. We appreciate you popping on every week. I appreciate you being the voice of reason with that clown show that is the Husky Honks. I mean, Baird yelling and screaming, Softy wanting everybody fired. I love myself some Greg Lewis. I mean, the pride of Ingram High School, you can't go wrong with him. So thankfully you two guys are on there kind of settling things down. So have a great call, my friend. We'll talk to you in 7 days, all right?
I appreciate it. Anytime, Ian. Thanks,
right,
bud.
There you go. That is Cam Cleveland, the former NFL tight end, Husky tight end as well. You'll hear him on 950 KJR coming up on Saturday. They'll have the call. 9 o'clock, I believe, is all joking aside, is when the Hawks start, I believe.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes,
9 o'clock. And then Cam will be in the booth with Tony. All right. We'll take a break. Come back. We got something good and something big, both coming up next.
Now back to Ian Furness on your home for the 12th man in the NFL. Seattle's Sports Radio 950, KJR, and free on the iHeartRadio app.
Well, we know, we've known for a couple days this is going to happen. Rob Manfred is the commissioner of Major League Baseball. He's in Seattle. Kevin, should we hear from him?
I guess it's okay to take that off, at least while I talk. First of all, it's a pleasure to be here in Seattle, and even a greater pleasure to make it official. Major League Baseball has awarded the 2023 All-Star Game to Seattle and the Seattle Mariners. The game here in Seattle in 2023 will be the 93rd Midsummer Classic, the third that's been held in Seattle, and the second held in the current home of the Mariners, T-Mobile Park. I think many of you remember our last All-Star game here in 2001. I certainly do. Great performance by Hall of Famer Cal Ripken, and the first All-Star game for one of the great Mariners, Ichiro Suzuki. We look forward in 2023 to celebrating baseball and some of the great performances that have taken place here in Seattle, including those by Ken and Edgar, who are kind enough to be here with us today. All-Star Week is really a celebration of baseball. There's going to be a number of tremendous events, not only the game itself, but Home Run Derby, events that are easier for fans to attend, like Play Ball Park, that are focused on young people. And even more important, our legacy program will leave behind a number of community projects that will live here in Seattle for years after the game. The city of Seattle was a great candidate for the 2023 game. The compact layout of the city is perfect for an event like this. It's easy for the fans who come from out of town to get around, and it'll be a great opportunity for Seattle to showcase the redeveloped waterfront here in town. The process of getting an All-Star game is very competitive these days, and I'd really like to congratulate the people here in Seattle who worked so well as a team. It starts with Mariners managing partner John Stanton, their new president Katie Griggs, Mayor Durkin, of course, Governor Jay Inslee, Sports Commission President Beth Knox, King County Executive Dow Constantine, and the Visit Seattle President Tom Norwalk. All of these people put in a tremendous amount of effort to make the bid for Seattle in 2023 compelling. And again, I want to just close by saying how excited all of us are at Major League Baseball to be coming to Seattle.
There you go. I talked about the experience that young people can have, which we were kind of talking about earlier in the thing. We got something good. Kevin's got something good today, and I want to get to this.
This is just a coach that I had never heard of, but he's a high school football coach, posted this video, and I think it speaks to a lot of what we've talked about. I'll let him take it from there.
I just had a young man come in and quit, and I couldn't be happier. I truly could not be happier. This young man was struggling all season with making it to practice, with committing, never looked happy. Some stuff going on, but I couldn't be happier because he came in, things washed, shook my hand. I said, sit down for a minute. And he started to explain, you know, his family's always been a football family. They've always loved it. And my father and my brother. And I stopped him. I said, do you love it? And he looked at me and he just breathed this deepest sigh of relief and said, no. I said, I'm proud of you. And I just saw his whole countenance change. He just smiled from ear to ear. He said, you're doing the right thing. Football is not for everyone. Couldn't be happier. Coaches, support your players if they want to be great. And if they want to be great in something other than football, support them just the same. Take what it's worth. Stay strong.
Pretty good perspective, huh?
I love that.
So that's Coach Hines. You can follow him on Twitter at Coach Kurt, K-U-R-T, Hines, H-I-N-E-S. And it's funny because we hear from professional athletes a lot that they were like, well, yeah, I played a lot of sports. I didn't just play baseball. I'm great at baseball, and that's what I do, but I played a lot of sports. And I just, you know, especially because some people aren't gifted in athletics. My hand may or may not be raised, but it doesn't mean that you should belittle them when they decide not to play.
I'm a big fan of trying to do as much as possible, try as many things as possible, but if it's not something you want to do,
it's okay.
It's fine. At least he tried.
Yeah.
Heart wasn't in it, and that's a sport. If your heart isn't in it, you better get the hell out. And I applaud everything about that.
Yeah, that was a really cool. Message, and yeah, good stuff.
I'd only be disappointed as a parent because I'd want my kid to play for that guy. You're getting more than football out of him. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. All right, top of the hour. Here we go. 206-286-9595. 206-286-9595. 800-829-0950. Those are the phone numbers. Funston, Fantasy Football, next.